My name is Barry Heath, and I am very privileged to be a part of this congregation. As Stephen introduced me at the first service, as someone who's honorably retired. I've never quite understood what the honor is, but I'm sure enjoying myself at this time of life, that's for sure. And I'm pleased with Stephen and Jenny and the pastoral leadership of this church for enabling us to hear different voices during this summer as we deal with the whole idea of being present. But I did, I must admit, have a vision of something that took place probably this week in your homes. Maybe you were one of them as you read in the notes or somewhere about the theme of today's service, about being present to suffering and saying, this would be a great day to go fishing. Because, you know, we have been so overwhelmed with suffering in these, as we've already recognized in the service over these last few weeks, that I must admit, I'm not wanting to be present to suffering if when I'm really honest with myself about it. But Carl Jung taught that unless we are sensitive to pain's question, unless we answer the question that pain brings to us, we miss the opportunity for healing. He said that people will do all kinds of things, absurd things, to avoid the soul. But he said, you don't get enlightenment by imagining lightness. You receive enlightenment by bringing darkness to consciousness. You know, it's just the opposite of what we're taught in society, isn't it? We're generally taught, I think, conditioned to avoid pain and suffering. And yet, Jung is saying there's something in the experience of suffering, a question that we are asked to pay attention to, which enables us to find healing in the midst of that pain and suffering. Now, already you've heard me use two words, pain and suffering, and almost using them interchangeably. I'd like to offer a distinction about the two that I hope is helpful. Think of pain as being a very real experience, physical, emotional, spiritual pain. Suffering is the meaning that we attach to that pain. So this is an example that may help you kind of understand it. It helps me. I hope it's helpful to you. If I'm, say, a marathon runner, which I am not, but I have all of a sudden knee pain that really prohibits me from being a marathon runner or maybe even doing anything but walking for exercise anymore, and when I walk up and down stairs, that pain reminds me that there is something that has radically changed in my life. The pain is very real. The meaning that I attach to that pain could be, I'm getting older and I don't like it. It could be that not only am I getting older, but I'm not able to do the things that I used to do when I was a runner and younger. I'm feeling really helpless now as I get older. There's where the suffering is. It's in the meaning that I am attaching to that very real pain. So our task today is, how do I do that? How do I become present to suffering so that in that experience I can find healing? And I'd like to offer a chance to look at two different ways we experience the suffering in our lives. One is when the suffering is ours, and the other is, how do we hold the suffering of others? Let me tell you a story about Janice, who was a volunteer in the pastoral care department in the hospital at which I worked. Janice was known to me prior to this story that I'm going to tell you as somebody who was very active in her church, who loved doing things with people and serving them. She was a lay reader in her church, and the comparable aspect in the Episcopal Church as a deacon of what we had just experienced in our ordination service. So she was a giver. But she was also a person who at this time had ovarian cancer in an advanced stage. And she was always in pain with it. She came to the office one day and asked if she could be a volunteer with the pastoral care department, which meant that she would like to go and visit patients and listen to their stories, just share some time with them. I trusted Janice, but even so, lots of people want to do the kind of things that she wanted to do so that they could work out their own thing, you know, work out their own pain, maybe tell their story to somebody else instead of listening. So we decided we would try this and see, and she went through the training and all of the supervision and some shadowing of her, and then she was off and doing her wonderful opportunity of serving and visiting and listening. But there was one day she came to the office and she was obviously in more pain than usual, and I asked her, Janice, wouldn't it be better this day if you went home? It seems like this is a pretty tough day. Maybe it would be better if you found a time of rest. She stopped for a moment and said, I need to be here. What I found out is that I can be in pain whether I'm at home or whether I am here, but there's a difference when I'm here. When I'm listening to other people's story, I'm in touch with who I really am. I find out the meaning of my life is in serving and listening and sharing with others. When I'm home, the meaning of my life is my cancer when I'm in pain. And that's all that I have to deal with. That's all my mind dwells on. When I'm here, I can get into my soul. I can get into who I am and what I'm really about. So Janice found in her experience of suffering, pain was in both places, but the meaning of her existence was very different when she understood who she really was and was able to serve others. Viktor Frankl his story has been told several times in sermons in this congregation. You know the story, perhaps. He was a Holocaust survivor. And in the concentration camps, he was a keen observer of other people's behavior. And he wondered why some people seemed to be able to live with the suffering and the horrendous pain of existence in the concentration camp different than others. And he noticed, he said, there was a man who came into the barracks at night after he got his measly portion of bread. And he noticed that there were children in the barracks who, after they ate their measly portion of bread, were still very hungry. And he would tear off a small piece of bread and give it to a child, as much as he could share, still able to nourish himself with that little bit that was left. And he noticed too, there were other people who at the end of a day that was one day after another of horrendous pain and suffering could go out and look at the sunset. And he said somehow they were able to touch something that was bigger than themselves. It didn't make the pain go away, but in the experience of the sunset, they could experience something that was larger than themselves and continued to be all around themselves. Viktor Frankl said, out of that experience, that we all have a choice how we are going to respond to situations. We all have a choice how we are going to respond to pain. There is only one way that I can find out in my own experience of how you can live with that, how Viktor Frankl could possibly live with the pain that he did in that concentration camp, how Janice could come back to the hospital and be able to serve others. It was perhaps that experience of the sunset, of where people experience something larger than themselves all around them. I'm going to offer the phrase that is called sacred space of what I mean. Because it's in that space where we will find the opportunity to be healed and supported as we experience suffering. And I know of no other place, perhaps, because they're so old and so familiar words in the 23rd Psalm that defines that sacred space for us. Where it says, the Lord is a shepherd, the one who cares for me. the one who watches out for me, who is there while I am in the midst of a storm. And he provides for me a green pasture of peace in the midst of my chaos of life, the midst of the uncertainty of life. I don't know what's out there, but here I know is the space of green pastures and still waters and peace. He leads me in those paths of righteousness, the right way for me to live. I get in touch with how I can live my life rightly because of the tools that God has, the rod and the staff, the things that the shepherd has that I don't have but that I need. But I know because of the shepherd's faithfulness that there I am. And even though there are enemies surrounding me, a table is prepared before me, and it is a place of blessing. And I am blessed to overflowing in this place. And so surely, goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a sacred space all around us. That's the promise of the psalmist. It's like the eye in the middle of a hurricane, where the storm rages and we know it's there. We know all of the chaos of life is there, but there is a space that God provides that is the calm in the midst of the storm. That sacred space is where we need to go when we need to transform our suffering and find healing from that experience in our life. But it is also the place that we can offer to others who are suffering their form of pain. I want to share another story about our youngest daughter, Ashley, who's now 35, but when she was a preteen, she suffered from anorexia. If you've been in that situation or a similar situation where your child is going through something that you have no power over it to be able to make it better, you can't exercise your role as a parent, you perhaps know it is one of the most painful walks that you can take in life, at least it was for Connie and I. Connie and me. She's an English teacher. I have to. Ashley was struggling with this. We got her all the help that she needed. We got her the tools, the hospitalization, the feeding. We got her the things that she needed, but she was really suffering at a much deeper level than just the physical need of food. And we were helpless, literally helpless to do anything. And at the time, that's all we felt was helplessness. We loved her. We got her the resources that she needed. We held her as best we could when she would let us. Afterwards, years perhaps afterwards, as we've talked about that whole experience, what we've realized is what we were doing, not really knowing it, was holding a place for her to be safe. We didn't let her just go off on her own. We said, she needs the help. We got her the help. We knew that she didn't love herself, but we wanted her to know that we loved her. We can be the channels of that same shepherd's grace for those others that are suffering. Being present to people's suffering is not easy. Frank Ostasevsky, who is the leader of the Zen Hospice in San Francisco, the founder of the hospice there, said there are two kinds of compassion. One is relevant compassion, which is the kinds of skills and the kinds of tools that some professionals and we have too, to be able to be present with another person. But there's an absolute compassion he talked about, which is tapping in to the wisdom, or in the context of the prayer that we exercised this morning, tapping into that grace of God that surrounds us. What we can offer to others, and it is no small gift, is that absolute compassion. But let's be honest, it's not easy. You know, in that prayer of confession, we talked about how we get numb to it. We get overwhelmed by it. We want to shut down to it. Connie said this week she looked at her phone. You know, you look at your phone open in the morning and there's a news headline. She said, I don't want to even open up my phone this morning. It gets to that point. Frank said, absolute compassion isn't dependent upon our strength. It is becoming the vehicle, the channel, the conduit for that strength that is beyond ourselves. The Lord is my shepherd. We can be that conduit for others. But we're going to get tired. The disciples had just spent some time with Jesus in the upper room at which they experienced the Passover meal. And they were told in the midst of that Passover meal that one of their number was going to betray Jesus and that Jesus himself was going to his time of trial and suffering. Just prior to that time, Peter was told by Jesus he was going to deny him three times. The disciples didn't want to believe any of it, especially the part of Jesus' own suffering. They were worn out with compassion and caring. Jesus took three of them, Peter among them, to go up with him to the Garden of Gethsemane and said, "Will you stay awake and pray with me?" And he went off to pray, and they fell asleep. He came back and asked them, "Could you not stay awake with me?" And went off again, and three times this happened, and three times Jesus came back and found the disciples asleep. Don't be too critical of the disciples, please. I think what's going on here is compassion fatigue. I think they were worn out, perhaps, as you and I have been worn out in these last weeks, these last months, of too much pain. Jesus understood, I think, what was going on. He said after the third time, "Okay, let's wake and let's go forward, for now is the time to go back out into life, even to the life that Jesus knew would be full of suffering." When we're tired, when we're in that place of compassion fatigue, that's when the Lord provides the streams and the pastures for our rest, so that we can be once again refilled with God's grace and get up from our tiredness and become the channels of God's grace again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I shall be the vehicle through which it will follow others in all of our life. Amen.
And we continue to worship God as the morning offering is received.